As the recent devastating floods in southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales have yet again demonstrated in this country, we need to do more to increase the resilience and the protection of homes and communities when it comes to natural disasters. To that end, the Insurance Council of Australia has just released a very significant survey looking at what governments should be doing in terms of investing more to protect homes and communities from extreme weather events. To talk about the results of this survey and the need for greater funding for resilience, lucky to have Insurance Council of Australia CEO Andrew Hall on the line.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Tell us about this survey. Why did the Insurance Council commission that survey? Obviously, it was done in some of those terribly, terribly hit towns further south from us. But of course, resilience in terms of natural disasters is so crucial to our audience as well. Tell us about that survey.
Well, one of the things that we all know happen when big events like this occur is that very quickly the rest of the community moves on and forgets about it. And we thought it was critically important to just test a few things to see how people were thinking about the issues of resilience and mitigation, but also get a better sense around what are their feelings around insurance, are they adequately covered and the like, because all of those are key lessons for us for the next time we go into one of these major events, and how do we prepare for them, and how do we do better at protecting homes?
An overwhelming 94% of people surveyed said there should be better controls on where homes are built, and particularly so they are not at risk of flood. Were you surprised by that, such a high response rate there?
Well, I think if you keep it in the context that in the southeast corner of Queensland and the northern part of New South Wales, those communities, and in fact Brisbane, have undergone major floods on three occasions in 10 years now. Mm. People are very clear about where floods occur. And it's the one natural peril that we've got a lot of data on. We know where floodways are. Mm. And the real question a lot of people are asking these days is, how is it that new developments are allowed to go ahead on areas that are well known to be floodplains? And when they do go ahead, they don't have enough mitigation to stop the floodwaters damaging homes. Mm. So I think it's become a real issue that has to be dealt with, both the historical approvals that happened in some of those areas, but moving forward, just ensuring that local government doesn't allow development to be occurring in these really high at-risk places.
Now, Andrew, let's turn to the ICA released its election platform just a few weeks ago called Building a More Resilient Australia. You've called for a doubling of federal funding to $200 million a year over 5 years for household retrofits and community protection projects, and you want that to be matched by the states.
The issue here is that for many years now, governments at both levels have spent more money on the cleanup than they spend on actually getting communities ready.
That's right.
And we've detected a significant shift in the community's attitudes that they, along with the land planning use, so that we're putting suburbs in the right locations, that we make sure that the building standards and that those buildings already constructed can be fortified to withstand some of these big events, because regardless of, you know, whether you've got that defense of having an insurance policy that will help you replace things, it's a traumatic and terrible experience to go through to lose everything. So we would love to see Australia lead the way on adaptation, on making sure that homes, in particular the tropical north, can withstand the really severe storm and cyclone events that cross the coastline. And we've got the technology to do it. And this is what lies at the heart of this. A lot of research has happened in places like James Cook University in Townsville. We know how to strap roofs better. We know how to build stronger garage doors and windows on strata buildings. We really need to get on with the job now of increasing that resilience of these places, particularly in northern Australia.
I'm speaking here with Andrew Hall, CEO of Insurance Council of Australia. Andrew, just to confirm, I guess your members, the big insurers, they do take into account individual circumstances on individual homes. I think there was a lot of angst some years ago where insurers would just look at entire postcodes, particularly in our part of the world, and slap blanket rules on them. I mean, insurers are actually drilling down into that individual level, that if you do perform work on your house, if your house is shown to be more resilient for whatever risk of natural disaster in your area, they do take that into account when calculating those premiums?
there is a range of factors that insurers take into account, and each one varies depending on the company. Some have a different risk appetite for some areas compared to others because they may have perhaps a higher level of exposure in those areas. It all depends. But there was a program previously in Queensland which worked very well that was at the household level, where people would have their roofs strengthened, and once their insurers were aware of that, their premiums were able to be reduced. And we welcomed last week the Queensland State Government made an announcement which they're seeking federal funding for to go 50-50, which is really what we are calling for. Both the state and federal governments need to put money into this to re-kickstart those resilience and mitigation programs. And I think that the figure was around $700 million, which is really the amount we are calculating as well, at a bare minimum, needs to go into the most at-risk homes on the Queensland coast.
Obviously, there is a huge need, a lead role for state and federal governments to fund some of these resilience projects that you're calling for. What about the insurers themselves? What responsibility should they have? I mean, I checked, you know, record profits again for companies like Suncorp and QBE. Their insurance sections of their companies are absolutely booming again. I mean, what role do insurers have? Should they be putting some of those record profits back into communities where these premiums come from?
I'm not quite sure where you get your figures from in terms of record profits. What happened in the last 2 to 3 years was insurers have suffered probably their worst returns in two decades. QBE and IAG and a number have had to show the market some results that they've been trying to turn around. And I know some others, Queensland-based Suncorp has been doing a lot better. But the reality is insurers, not just in Australia, but globally, have had some of the worst returns in a number of decades for a number of reasons. And it's been the high number of natural disasters that have depleted the pools. And the concern is here that if the extreme weather continues like this, and you've got what they call a hardened market, where it's very hard to get return on the invested pools, then there's only one place they can go to protect those premiums. And I think sometimes people confuse insurers with banks. They don't have the same profit return. And we do want this country in Australia, we do want to have a competitive, profitable insurance market, because we'll all remember what happened 20 years ago when HIH collapsed. It was not a great outcome for particularly businesses that were covered by that organisation. So, I think there's some perspective we've got to keep here. The ACCC did a really detailed study on insurer profits in the north of Australia, and found that over the last decade, insurers have actually lost $800 million in northern Australia, in North Queensland. They've not made money. They're losing money.
I'm just reading from the Suncorp website here. Suncorp Group, obviously that's the group as a whole, which includes banking, announced a strong FY21 result with cash earnings of $1.06 billion, up 42.1%. And group net profit after tax increased by 13.1% to $1.033 billion. And that includes significant improvement in cash earnings, with profit after tax in its insurance arm up 42.4%. So, you know, Suncorp at least have bounced back from a couple of tough years before that.
Well, they did. And that was an increase of 42% on the year before, where it wasn't that. And then you need to have a look at the total revenue they're bringing in. So in terms of, market where you'd invest your money, for example, insurers are not necessarily sitting at the top of the level there. Their return on those profits, on those dollars, are very hard earned and very challenging. This recent flood event, for example, if we want to put some perspective around it, our conservative estimate is that this will cost around $2.5 billion to insurers once all the payments are made. So these are very significant natural disasters, and the one way around them is if we can increase the resilience, make homes stronger, encourage more people back into the market, into the insurance market, and then the insurance works the way it needs to work.
Finally, Andrew Hall, let's turn to what we hope is another positive development on the insurance front. Of course, the Morrison government recently finalised the design of its reinsurance pool for cyclone. for cyclone protection. Talk to us about an update on that. You know, it comes into effect from July 1. Are you confident that this will have an impact and reduce premiums for homeowners here in our part of the world?
It will fill in part of the puzzle, and it's been something that people have thought about for a very long time, and we're waiting now for the actual outcome of the work they've been doing. Mm. We don't have those rate cards yet, so it's very hard to calculate exactly what the benefit of the reinsurance pool will be. But that was why what we've put on the table is ultimately whether or not you have a reinsurance pool that's owned by the private market or the government. That what we need to do is reduce the risk. Mm. You need to build homes that won't be destroyed in the first place, because with that done, you've got a much more insurable and sustainable market.
Fantastic update. Covered a lot of ground there, so I really appreciate your time. That's Andrew Hall, CEO of Insurance Council of Australia. Thanks for your time on the King Review today, Andrew.
Thank you. My pleasure.